another week of lockdown, man. And this week, man, we're doing something, another going down that journey of shit I should have watched a long time ago. I'm the host of Fans of My Troll, I'm the host of Fans of Patrol, Lockdown Edition. Fans on My Troll. With me is the sensitive one, Miss Tifflebot. Say hello to the people, Tiff.
Hello, I'm feeling pretty great. How's it going?
All right. So, man, we had to bring them back, man, because we just had so much fun. This trio, it sounds great. Mr. Beep, Dip, Down. What's up, homie?
Fans on Patrol time. Rock.
Yep, you
got to
get that in there.
Have to. There's no way. I'm not going to not do that.
Got to.
Clear that right now.
Oh, shit.
It's Fans on the Troll. Haven't you heard?
They changed
our name.
It's Fans on the Troll.
We got to change our whole Twitter up. Just start bothering people. Fans on the Troll. Oh, man. So we are back, man, for another week of lockdown, man, like doing what we supposed to do. This week, man, I had never seen Hot Fuzz. We kind of talked about this, and so we're doing Hot Fuzz 2007. Damn, this was a long time ago.
Yep.
Rated R, 2 hours, one single minute, action, comedy, mystery, thriller. This movie stars Simon Pegg and Nick Frost, one of Tiff's little favorite. Martin Freeman is in this, Bill Knightley, all these Brits, man. Let me see who else was good in this.
Timothy Dalton
was it. Hey, Professor Slughorn was in this damn thing, Tiff.
Yes, he was. When you watch British films or British television, you do see a lot of like, oh, that guy's in Harry Potter. Because right. They needed every British person for Harry Potter. They just said, come in. We need you, that guy off the street.
What's his name? Jim Broadbent is his name?
I think he's famous in Britain.
Broadbent.
Yeah, he's...
Oh, and Olivia Colman's in this. Olivia Colman is a Oscar-winning actress.
Well, we had a bunch of...
And she's in lots of other stuff. She's in The Crown.
Oh, yeah.
She won an Oscar for The Favorite.
Now, I only got one bone to pick with this movie right from the beginning.
Go on.
Where was the brothers in the movie, man? You know, we had to...
Very much, dude. They went to the whitest town in London.
I still, there had to be one brother somewhere, man.
Nah.
Not a single brother.
I'll allow it on this one.
I felt like I was watching Lord of the Goddamn Rings or something with this movie.
That's, you know, that shit pisses me. You know I have a fucking problem.
There wasn't one black cop in there in London. I mean, maybe I don't know. Maybe something I don't know. Y'all school me or something. You know. So anyway.
No, I don't know.
That's the only thing that kind of like bothered me. I was like, what? Not a single brother in this damn movie. Okay.
That's fair. It's not, it was 07 though. It was 07. This is before they started giving this shit.
All right, Edgar Wright. You know, you got some making up to do.
Yeah, we see you, Edgar Wright.
God damn it. So, man.
That's why he left Ant-Man. That's why he got out of Ant-Man. He's like, T.I.
I don't know what to do with this guy.
Oh, fuck. Yeah. That's it. Close the show down. Best joke of the night. We're done.
Who was actually phenomenal in that goddamn movie?
You know what? I think I got to watch Ant-Man again because that movie's so good.
So good. So damn good.
Sorry, we're distracting ourselves.
I know. So let's get it on, man. Before we roll head deep into this thing, let's hit one word. Tiff, what you got? One word.
Enamored. Yes.
Beat him down.
Brilliant.
That's a British word for you, right?
That's good, yeah.
Oh, and then you left me in the lurch because I just want to say outstanding. I'm take your word from last week, man. I was really, really, really impressed with this. It's a long time when you're watching a movie and it just make you feel good and you're just like, damn, this is making me feel good. I was
so
happy.
I have a question since you're saying that.
Yes.
Because last week we watched Shaun of the Dead.
The week before last.
Right. Sorry. It's, you know, these all get all whatever.
Right.
But you found Nick Frost's character in that movie to be very annoying.
Oh my God.
He
but I wanted to know if you're lovable. wanted to know if you found him lovable in this movie.
I loved his dirty bath water.
He's just such a lovable character in this movie. Like, it's so hard to hate him.
I just wanted to fluff him up and put him in my couch and just lay on his chest, you know.
Yeah, he's a nice guy. You want to be his best friend. Like, if you had an office mate that was like him, you'd be like, fuck, his work is great.
Oh, he was so great. I loved him in this movie. So let's start this thing off, man. Let's hit them spoilers. We're going to get it going. So I believe the movie starts off with pretty montage-y, you know. They're telling you about our hero, you know, played by Simon Pegg. What was his name?
Nicholas Angel.
Nicholas Angel. Real quick.
Yes.
Real quick. Because you said I was Ron from Get Out. This is you.
Oh, my God. It is you. Oh, my God.
You are Nicholas Angel. You are. This is hashtag TBT top button Tago.
I'll take that. God damn it! I can't even say that. Oh,
like when he cycles, like the part, because like him marching to the screen, I was like, that's Montego Bradley right there. But when he did the driving, and then they cut to the bike, and he bikes super hard and turns to the camera, I was like, that's Montego. Top of his class.
Okay, full disclosure. Full disclosure, it was actually one scene where he was like, he said something like, I don't like to lose, I don't like to fail, or something like that. And I was sitting there and I was like, me neither. My wife just started cracking up at me. I was like, yeah, I know. You know, I'm sorry, man. It's the way I am. I hate to fail. Anyway, man, this montage is cool as hell. That's like the stuff you were just mentioning, man. I love the bike scene. I love all the stuff that he was the best of the best of the best, sir. All the combinations. Yep. It was great. And I I'm going to tell you something. One of the things I really didn't want to see this movie for years and years is because I just kind of got tired of seeing badass cops, you know, for years. I was like, and I knew this was a comedy, but I saw the scenes in the trailer with him, you know, walking all strong and stuff. And I was like, I don't want to watch this guy trying to act, you know, like a somebody who's going to get on my damn nerves. But he wasn't that character in this movie. He was so
right.
Relatable and likable, you know, because it wasn't about him wanting to bust heads, you know what I'm saying? He just wanted to do a good job. And I think
he's a rule follower. He's like a you know, what's that called when not like a teetotaler. What is that called when you're like always just
a cop we can really use over here, like really bad right now. Like,
we need to clone his monkey ass and put him over here. Yeah. To do the right
thing. I would order 66 the fuck out of this shit. With his ass.
Order 66. Take them
save
out.
The blacks. Do it. Do it.
Oh shit. So he's so good. I love the bit where the cop. The boss gives him the promotion to sergeant and says, you want to go up the chain? Boom, the next chain. You want to go up the chain? Till you get all the way to the chief where we got Knightley sitting there, you know, and they're all just on the same page. They got to get rid of him, y'all, because why? He's got 400% above everybody else in the department.
400%? Oh, my God. I love when he told him the town, he barely said it. He was like, you've been promoted to sergeant.
And here's the thing. Those, no offense to everyone across the seas, but your town names are so strange.
Well,
yeah. I don't understand. They sound lovely. Why is it Sanford, Gloucestershire, but it's still England? So it's Sanford, Gloucestershire, England?
Well,
it's wonderful. It sounds dope.
I
love it.
If I was from England, I would say, well, you guys as towns and cities are nothing but just dirty-ass knockoffs of everything in Europe, because that's all we've ever done, right? Orleans.
Touche.
You know, Georgia, you know.
I mean, Detroit, or Detroit. Detroit. We don't even try.
So
fuck all that French shit.
Sergeant Angel's personal life doesn't exist, and he goes to the crime scene to say goodbye because he had no choice: take this or not be a cop. And so, I was just reviewing that scene. It was one brother that was in that scene with all the cops. So I take all.
All right.
It's still not. You know, it's not good enough.
No, I don't know.
Still happy to see him go. Like, get your overexceeding ass out of here.
Now, this scene is a trip here when he's talking to his girlfriend through the, you know, the CSI. They paid for this actress and never show her face other than her eyes. And I thought it was interesting that they never, like, revealed her face. You know, I was like, wow, you know, that they paid for her.
Was she, like, a famous person?
I assume she was. Yeah,
she was the, I thought she was the chick that he ran into in Shaun of the Dead, the one that saved him ultimately.
Oh, okay.
So I knew she was somebody. I'm like, man, they paid for this actress. But it's a great bit when, you know, she's moved on to the next guy and the guy's like, him? And he's like, no, him. And, you know, so he has nothing.
Hello.
Right. Nobody is sad to see him go, man. You know, he goes and packs his stuff.
Like, that's such a Montego move, too, where he's like, oh, that window's broken from the inside. And everyone's just like,
Well, he's good, right, man.
He's being dumped, but he's still working because it was. I like who he's outside. He's like, what's the situation? And she's like, she's talking about the relationship. He's like, no, I meant in here. And he pointed at his chest. She's like, she thought he meant the crime scene. He's like, no, I meant in here.
So they do another whimsical montage that I really like when he's going to Sanford, you know, with him sitting outside in the rain. He's on the train. He's in the dark. You know, it seems like it takes a billion years for him to go to this old town. And he gets there in the rain and he's at the Swan Hotel. You walk in and it's like a scene right out of Harry Potter. It's like, God dang, this is where he's going to... I thought they said they had a cottage. I was a little confused because I thought they said they had a place for him.
It wasn't ready yet.
Is that why he was there? Okay.
Yeah, so they say in the beginning, and they're like, oh, they're like, it's not ready yet, so we put you up at the Swan.
Okay, I missed that. And I was like, what the hell? So
I've seen this movie a lot.
Okay, well, just keep me on track because that's a beautiful thing. So he goes over to the pub, right? And we see Nick Frost in the back getting hammered to death. You know, the people are very nice, but he looks around the bar, and I thought this was so funny because at first you had those kids outside, you know, at the fountain, and then they go inside, right. And they're all, man, all these kids look like they're like 13, 14 years old getting destroyed up in that bar, man, just like nobody's business, man. Where are you at with this beat 'em down?
Dude, I laugh my ass off every time when that kid laughs with the braces and the light shined off the braces and hit him in the eyes. He's like, ah! You can see Nicholas like fighting the urge because he's that guy. He is. He can't because he saw one and he thought maybe I would just let this slide go to bed. But as it keeps piling up, you can see him just bubbling over, man. And like, he's not even drinking a beer. He's having a cranberry juice, for Christ's sake.
Yes,
like,
he is.
His urine has to be intact. Like, he can't even, like, he literally pisses excellence, like, legit.
So he's grabbing the Nick Frost character. What's his name, Tiff?
His name is Danny Butterman.
Right. So he takes him because he's about to drive drunk. He could crash into the fountain. But on the way, he grabs the kid pissing, and he ends up walking inside the precinct with like four of the kids. The one kid with the braces, I think he has the big street cone on his head.
Yeah.
It's just cool, man. It's just like little shit like that. And the sergeant at the desk, you know, is very astute. He's talking to him. It's like, you know, whatever, you know. He sends, you know, Danny back to and says, this paperwork is going to take forever. Your boy does another montage with the flashing lights and shit.
The paperwork.
He does all the paperwork in probably like 10 minutes and stuff like that. You know, every T crossed, every I dotted, everything. So, you know, he's back in his apartment. And he has nothing, right? Because he's just, you know, sitting there with the fist grip. He don't even have a TV in there. Goes out for a jog the next day. And then this is an interesting way to introduce the characters of the town. I really like that. What about you, Tev?
Yeah, so this part of the movie is like, I think it's charming, but it's also got like that really nice kind of like a creepy factor. Because he's like weirded out by it. Because he's like from a big city. And so these people are saying, oh, because they all know he's there already. They've already heard about the new sergeant. So they're like, oh, hello, sergeant.
Yeah, everybody. He meets James Bond, you know, running and stuff like that. And then he runs into the precinct, and this is when he meets his team. And the sergeant at the desk, you know, I didn't even get it until the end of the movie. You know what I'm saying? Where he was like, nobody tells me anything. I'm like, what the hell is wrong with this guy?
Nobody tells me
nothing. He was his hair all fucked up. I was like, what happened to you?
Right. Like, he was there all night and that's all it took to change him? So he finds out that the drunk last night was his new partner, and not only that, he's the son of the chief. And it's like, oh well, you're and I love that look, that smile that he gives him, that Danny gives him when he introduces himself, so he's not gonna arrest them. So they get to know each other. He says the town is pretty sleepy, you know, and I think they do a lot of subtle stuff, you know, like talking about you know, people who were here before. This guy had a big old beard, you know, and
a big bushy beard.
Goes out and meet these clown ass cops that are so I don't know, y'all. They were like, they did not get on my nerves at all. Even when they were supposed to get on your nerves, they were so delightful. You know, it was just like, God,
I love them all. Oh God, because I had too many favorites. Because you always got to have your you're one guy you don't fucking understand, and that's like a real thing over there. Because like I've been watching it was like a weird documentary where like it was all these guys at the bars. You know what the fuck anybody was saying.
Yeah.
And then you have the HR nightmare. Like what's her name? Thatcher. Doris Thatcher.
Doris. Yeah.
Yeah. Like she's just an HR nightmare,
dude. and it's such a great choice to do that because she's the only woman, and so instead of having some creepy guy doing creepy things, she's just over the top and love every minute of being just inappropriate.
She loves being like she's a policewoman, and he says she's a police officer. No, she's a policewoman. I've seen her bra. Yeah. I hate to like say the jokes, but there's a lot of subtle jokes in this movie, and then there's a lot of like really outright jokes.
So
yeah, man.
They introduce everybody, and they're doing the cake thing, and you know the subtle stuff that I was kind of looking over at first was like the neighborhood watch guy up there with all those goddamn cameras all over the town. I was like, well, the first thing I thought was that, oh, he's probably going to end up helping them because something's going to go wrong. That's what I thought, you know, because he's like, we just give them what they want and we get out of the way. But and they were upset about, like, mimes and stuff like that. And
yes, the statue, the living statue.
Yes, he's back again.
You know what's funny? He was the main character in The Wicker Man.
The living statue?
No, Tom Weaver, the neighborhood's watch guy.
Oh, okay.
See, I've never seen the original Wicker Man. I just saw that awful one with Nicolas Cage.
The bee.
Oh, God. Ah! Holy shit, that movie. Anyway, so the cops are total dicks to him, right? They're just used to their life and doing the stuff that they're going to do. And nobody takes anything seriously. And he's really just wound up way too tight for this goddamn town, man. I mean, it's a terrible fit. I mean, it's a terrible fit. And so they immediately put him on mundane duty. And before we move on any further, those goddamn detectives, woo, super dicks. Super dicks. With the old 70s looks about them and stuff. But they were, but I liked them. I did not like them. It wasn't like I was like, man, I hate these damn guys. It was, you know, everything was a cliche. Everything was from like a movie that they were referencing and things like that. But it wasn't so in your face, so bad that it's like just made you mad. Because sometimes they do stuff like this. So you just be like, oh, boy. Y'all just gonna make a damn joke out of everything, and Edgar Wright did make a joke out of everything, but it worked for some kind of way, yes. You know.
I wouldn't say it's subtle. It's just like, oh yeah, you know, I. It's more like I've seen that too, or like when you're with your friends and you're like quoting a show, that's the kind of humor it kind of feels like. But you get to know Danny a lot in this very short.
Yes, you do.
He really likes buddy cop movies, and he really wants to be like, he likes being a cop, but he's not a very good cop. And so he really admires Nicholas Angel.
With all the 100 questions, you know, have you done this? Have you
done this? Up in the air and said, "Arr."
All the questions are hilarious. Like the one with, I like how he's like, hey, you ever jumped in the air whilst shooting two guns? He's like, no. Have you ever jumped in the air whilst holding one gun? It's like, ugh. I was just like, that poor bastard.
Because they seem like, right at the beginning, they seem like not a good pair.
Oh, absolutely.
But then you know they're going to be a great pair.
So he gets introduced to the entire town hierarchy. And, you know, they have that little meeting for him, and he meets the reporter after that. And all of this is like, suppose, you know, things that if you're not paying attention, you will miss it. you know, but the movie is so likable that, you know, you really would have to not be paying attention to this for you not to pay attention to it. You know what I'm saying? Right. Because it's like right there. So he had the picture in the paper and the cops are bothering him. I think it's funny. The way those detective cops bothered him is masterful. It cracks me up every single time. They do not let off of his ass for no reason and stuff. And so it's great.
Never. Never. The whole movie.
I mean, even when they buddies, they not letting off of him, you know.
It's so good. Because I think it was one when he, I don't know what part of the movie this was, but he was drinking beer. And he's like, "You got a mustache." He's like, "I know." Yes. The way he says it, it's just like, stupid. Oh shit! It's like,
oh, they're such dickheads. It's but they're like, right? They're like, they serve a purpose, and it's just such a great like foil and it's a good part of the movie.
Probably because they undermine themselves as they talk shit. Like they never get over. Like they always like wind up losing, even though they're thinking they're completely shitting on the guy. Because like everyone is them and their mums is packing. Like who? Farmers,
right?
Mothers,
right? So you know, they have our heroes running through this thing, you know, and getting the goose and doing dumb stuff, you know, and it just seems like nothing is going, you know, their way, but our hero is seeing conspiracy when there should be conspiracy, but not, especially right. with the Timothy Dalton character who just says so much inappropriate shit all the time.
Christ.
It's like, dude, what the hell? And he says it with a smile and he's deliberately and purposeful in everything he does. And I think it's so cool. So, you know, the movie picks up at this point because you have the shoplifter with the big bag, you know, in the run, and this guy he could stroke the guy. This guy was stroking Jack. I
want to know now that so in every Edgar Wright movie, in the Blood and Ice Cream or the Cornetto trilogy, whatever you want to call it, they do similar things, and I want to know if you noticed. So in this, do you remember in Shaun of the Dead when he says, "What, you've never taken a shortcut?" And he jumps over the fence.
Yep.
But he doesn't do a good job. And in this one, he says, "You've never taken a shortcut." And he jumps over the fence and he's really good
at
it.
Oh, he was epically jumping over that fence. But I did notice that, Tiff. I really did. I was like, oh, this is
good. Danny ate shit, though. Dude. I like how they try to start the music. Bling, bling.
They did.
Dude, why did that guy look like Jimmy Fallon and one of the cops looks like not Bill Hader?
I would agree.
Oh, he does look like not Bill, like almost Bill Hader.
I would agree with you 100%.
The one that's like incompetent.
So this guy who, you know, who stole the stuff, man, he could just run, dude. I mean, he was just, but he ends up catching him, brings him in. I'm not pressing charges. Dude goes out about his business. So, you know, poor Angel, he just can't do anything, can't catch a break. So things change at this point because he ends up stopping the actors who were, you know, really funny, you know, the man and woman doing Romeo and Juliet. And, you know, he ends up they gave him a ticket. He sends the tickets. Chief makes him go. And when they did that play, I thought that shit was just ridiculous, y'all. I mean, I was like, oh, they're doing the movie version of Romeo and Juliet. Yeah,
dude, right. That's like, that's what, that's like the greatest reveal ever. Because you're like, oh, yeah, Romeo and Juliet. And as soon as you see old girl with the Claire Danes wings, yeah, just like, oh, God.
And they were terrible. So it was so bad. You know what I'm saying? I was like, that was nothing good about it, especially that little song they sung at the end. I was like, this is great, you know, whatever. So they leave, and, you know, next thing you know, this is our first murder, man. You know, and it was brutality. Because you're like, why is this rated R? You know?
Right, because, like, this is, if you didn't know anything about this movie and you went in, like, you hadn't seen the previews, didn't know, and you went in blind, you might be very surprised that this happened.
I was surprised, Tiff. It caught me off guard. I was like, whoa.
Oh, yeah, but you were. I was excited. That's what I was excited for you to watch this, because it turns into a slasher out of nowhere.
Dude, so graphic. And then the next and the next day with the heads in the street, I was like, God damn it. You know? Yeah, it got me, bro. Angel comes in and cleans up the crime scene. I like how he tells everybody what to do. And he said, what he said, you know, and so that's funny.
Yeah.
And everybody in the town is pretty much coming to the crime scene. You know, the whole town is driving through there.
But I mean, that doesn't seem that weird to me because, like, yeah, you would.
Except Skinner. fucking showing up, playing the music like perfect with the death and shit. Like, yeah. Oh, what a shame.
Yeah. It was terrible.
Oh, did he says,
doesn't he say, alas, poor Romeo or whatever? He says something from the show.
So douchey, but so just... You know what he is? Like every time he shows up when somebody dies or about to die, it's the equivalent of James Franco in Part 3 when he ate the cake. And he's like, it's so good. Like, that's how he relishes every death.
Yeah, you're right.
So good. Oh,
So guys, one of my favorite scenes is actually the guy from Harry Potter, Filch, with all the goddamn guns. Oh my god. For him
because he has such a strong accent and everything.
That was great. That was great. And even the dude had a mind. I thought the house was gonna blow up. And I thought it was such good directing that it didn't blow up. And then they end up bringing all that shit into the precinct and stuff. Like, this dude had been there like 2 or 3 days and he just filled up the evidence room with more guns than they'd ever seen in their life and stuff, you know. In Jolly
Old England. What's so crazy is like once you think about it after watching the movie, you realize, like, because the guy said he just found them.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's literally all the guns, like, that's where those guns belonged in the whole time. Like, they belonged in there.
Yeah.
Yes. So our two heroes start bonding at this point, man.
Yeah, it's time to celebrate. They had a good day.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I like it, man. You know, your boy, he goes and starts having some brew. And he never did get drunk, though. You know,
he's a little tipsy, maybe.
That's about it. You know, the Nick Frost character, he was destroyed. And then they...
Hell yeah.
They go back.
I love it when they carry that guy home. And he's like, how much do I owe you? And he gives him a 20, and then he's like, and here's your change. No, he just gives it back to him.
That was good. They sent him there, and I think as soon as they leave, we see the killer somewhere lurking.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, like, lurk. There's always, like, you see them run out of sight, and then we come back to see how they kill the person.
Right. So they go back, and they're watching some badass movies. They're watching Point Break, one of my favorites, and, you know, the whole thing was great. And we have another murder, and this guy, like, just blows the goddamn house up, man. And it's like, the murders are ridiculous, y'all. I just want to tell y'all.
Gruesome as fuck. It's the best.
This one's hard to watch because who hasn't gone home a little drunk or really drunk and was like, fuck yes, I'm going to eat something. I'm going to make a grilled cheese.
I'm a microwave guy. I'm either order or microwave because I don't trust me with like flames. Like the oven or any of that shit. No. I know me. So I was like, nope, I'm either going to get takeout or I'm going to get that trusty microwave. Because at the worst, I'll just leave it in the microwave and get cold again. Because I would be dead 16 times over, dude. Like, I'd have been this little bastard so many times.
Yeah, he got blown the hell all the way up. That's for sure.
And oh, boy.
So the next day, the same thing. You know, the head cop doesn't even bother to ask. He's like, what do I do? You know, he told him what to do. And the same thing happens. People are visiting the crime scene. And the jerk cops come out and they say, "We think I got some fair to go to?" And he said, "Well, actually, you do." And they send them to the damn county little fair. So this scene.
This is my favorite one.
Dude, yes, this is my favorite kill too.
I was about to say the same thing. I said, this one really got my ass. So Tiff,
why don't you
take us through this one?
Okay. So, you know, Angel's suspicion is growing. Tim Messenger, that is the
reporter.
Newspaper, the journalist. Mm-hmm. He says, I have something to say to you. I know something. Meet me in the courtyard at 3:00. They pull him up on stage. They pull Angel up on stage because he's announcing the winners of the tombola,
biting my nails off at this part.
Here's the thing. You're a cop. You just say, hey, I have to take care of something. That's the weirdest part. But then he does. He like runs down, and as he leaves, he just manages to catch Tim getting hit with one of the spires from the church. It is crazy. It looks kind of like, to me, it looks a little bit, I know it doesn't exactly look like, but like Pyramid Head?
Yes.
It reminds me of Pyramid Head.
Is that Silent Hill? Because that's what I thought it was. Yeah.
It was bad. But he just like, it's so gruesome. It's so disgusting. And all the deaths in Edgar Wright, these movies are like over the top and weird and crazy. Even the blood splatter a lot of times looks fake on purpose, and so like you see him like fall down and he's dead.
It was horrific. Go ahead, sir.
This one kind of, because like, you know, the earlier kills, I'm like, yeah, that's fine. But this one, like, I was just like, I wasn't ready for any of that. Because they linger on him with a brand new spire head, and you're just like, fuck!
I know. It blew my...
violins chime in.
Woo, it blew my cheeks back. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. Goodness gracious.
He didn't deserve any of that. He got fucked.
Yeah, he did. Oh,
gee.
So, you know, they stay out there because our hero thinks it's a murder. Everybody's pissed at him because it's raining and stuff. And everything is an accident. Nobody gets it. Nobody gets that nothing is an accident. It's a crummy town.
Right.
And so, you know, he starts doing his research and stuff. But I noticed him when he did all this, he did it all on his own. He did all the research and all the clues and stuff like that. And he goes and get his boy and said, you know, we're going to crack this case, you know. Because he had to apologize to him first because he was a real dick to him the day before. And I know that probably hurts Tiff's feelings.
That made me so sad when he sets the monkey down. And he leaves.
Yeah.
Has a little cowboy hat on.
But he made up for it. You know, he went and got him and turned him into a top flight cop at this point, Tiff. You know, they working together as a team. And he has the birthday and he goes out. He told him about the plant. He goes and get him a plant, which I thought was cool as hell. I was like, yeah, go get it. Yeah, right. Go do that. But that murder with that damn florist, holy shit, he just, y'all couldn't wait. He was about to leave. Y'all couldn't wait till he drove away. I was like, damn.
Yeah, man. I was, ugh.
Well, we kind of find out later why, though. I don't want to just skip ahead, but we find out later kind of why everything is different every time.
So he takes off running, and I get it. I figured out at that point, I said, oh, it's more than one person because they just keep getting too far ahead. They turn a corner and they rolling. So I was like, ooh, so I'm thinking the whole goddamn town is involved, you know, especially from the story that the lady told and stuff like that, you know, that she wanted to get out of there and, you know, to hell with her cousin. Mm-hmm. So at this point, I'm like, oh yeah, the whole town is involved, but I couldn't think it was so many people. You really actually met a lot of people in this, you know,
right?
And so you're like, well, everybody couldn't be involved, you know? What the hell is that? And so, your boy is losing his mind now. We heard about the other cop that lost his mind, and I'm like, do they bring people here, you know, for them to lose their mind? But then I thought about it. They kept saying that somebody from London is calling you. And I was like, I wonder if they sent him there to crack this damn case. That's what I'm thinking, you know. You know, I'm like, I wonder, you know, people been coming up missing and shit like that. Did they do this on purpose? And so, no, they didn't. So he thinks he's cracked the case, and he thinks it's Skinner. Goes there and embarrasses himself with the Sherlock Holmes.
Yo, but it's not, though, because, like, everything, like, what kills me is how perfectly all of it made sense.
Oh, it did. It was a Sherlock Holmes moment.
We're talking about a lot of dispute. He went through the paperwork, the whole nine. It's airtight, and literally, like, what's even funnier? This is like almost the end runtime of an actual movie at this point.
Yes.
So you're about to get okie the fuck okie doke, like, because he tries like, and like, but you cut yourself on the glass and on your leg. Oh, fuck.
You're like, yeah, you're like, shit.
He pulls out.
Oh, did y'all know the?
Go ahead.
Did y'all know the Slow Michael is the Hound from Game of Thrones?
Oh, I didn't realize that. That is him.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, he's a big man.
Now that I think, it is him.
He said yarp. So, you're right. He pulls out the tape and shows that he had a rock solid alibi.
Yeah, like how he posed with one of the fucking people. When he was talking with the chick, he was like, ha ha. Like, he had like a whole head back photo freeze.
So your boy is humiliated, you know. They writing twat on his hat and shit like that, and
that weren't me.
They crushed him at this point, this part, y'all, because he was no longer a cop. You know, he was just doomed. He was just walking around. He was integrating now. He was turning into one of them, and I thought that was funny, man. So, yes. You know, something happens that ends up clicking for him that this starts making sense, and I can't remember exactly what happened.
He almost gets murdered.
He gets attacked by Michael Armstrong in his hotel room.
Oh, that's it. I thought something triggered him, and he went to his hotel room, and then the guy jacked him. So the guy, Yarp, starts beating the shit out of him. That is the Hound. You damn right. Mm-hmm. With a bald head. He beats the hell out of him up in that room and stuff, and the panda, the little monkey saves him.
Yes.
He sees the monkey and falls in love, and so, you know, now it's time to reveal everything, man. You know, he's running to this secret meeting, and they having these flashes where he's starting to see all the different people that was chasing him. The director is revealing how everything was done. He arrives there, and you have the Illuminati sitting there doing their chants and stuff with the flashlights underneath their faces and stuff like that. And these some evil-ass people, Tef. What the hell is going on?
But because they love their town so much, they don't want anything bad. They don't want anything to besmirch their town, so they have to kill all these people for various stupid reasons.
How did you feel about that, Tego? Like having the comparison between the logical reasons and just the most bullshit watered down reasons.
Well, it made perfect sense once it happened, because I was like, of course these people would do it for these reasons. Especially, you know, the director threw it in your face the whole time. They were so pissed with that gold dude. They were so pissed with that damn swan running around. They were so pissed with all this little stuff. You know, it was the stuff that mattered to them. You know what I'm saying? It was like they didn't give a shit about nobody getting murdered.
How ugly the house was. I mean, honestly, the Romeo and Juliet performance, I completely co-signed on that. I get that.
That was fair.
That's fair. That was totally fair. But man, but the chick just leaving just because she wanted the flowers. No. God damn.
She can't give anybody else her talents. So right. She had to go.
That's a little hardcore there.
He said, if we can't have her, no one can. I was like, God damn, that was harsh. Super harsh. So what happens now, beat him down? Shit.
So like this is where everything kind of comes crumbling down. Because like we find out that the chief inspector is in on it, and then his own homie, man, comes up and like looks at him and apprehends him too.
That blew my mind.
He does. And he stabs him, and I'm like, no. But I remember, you know, we had like a weird Chekhov's ketchup packet happen.
Yes, yes.
So I was like, maybe, just maybe. And sure enough, you know, Danny like fake kills him to spare him, to get him the fuck out of town. Like he doesn't know the full extent of what's happening. So like when Nicholas Angel explains it to him, you know, he still is freaking out because it's his dad, man. Like his mom committed suicide. And like he's just really kind of like he just can't turn his back on his dad, but he doesn't want to like get rid of his only friend.
Yes.
And I love how our boy comes back though.
Yes.
It's so dope because I like how we get a quick nod to the farmers and their moms packing.
Yeah. You know what? Before that though, what really got me was all the dead people that was in the tunnels.
A big bushy ears.
I mean him. Yeah. They killed the damn mime. They killed the kids. They killed the shoplifter. It was like,
also that they're called the NWA too. It's fucking hilarious.
I know. I kept on thinking it too. I was like NWA, and I was like NWO Neighborhood Watch Association. Okay.
I was like, you're wonderful. I enjoyed that joke.
So, like you said, you know, he it's time for Danny to redeem himself at this point. You know, because nobody else is but believe in their story at all, right? I mean, it's only the two of them, and they're gonna go get the sunglasses and shit and get in the car, and they're gonna come back.
Well, he didn't join them right out the gate. It was just him by himself because he literally rode in on a fucking white horse.
Right, because he ran the guy's car over, right, and then took the horse, right. And the old lady popped up with the guns and stuff. That was crazy.
Shit out of that motherfucker.
Yeah, there's no mercy.
It's so good. Dude, but like, I look because they're letting you know old people are about to get fucked up.
He popped her in the head so fast. I mean, so bad. She had a bloody nose.
Yeah, he kicked the shit out of her, dude. But like when he comes in and you see all these players and shit, and you could feel it about to go down. But I never expected it.
No,
because he clocked so many people too. He like the guy with the coat. He been clocked him, dude.
Yeah, he did.
Fucking pulls out that. Oh my god, bro! Like just the most amazing shootout that I was not prepared for, man. With just elderly people, man. Dude, it's so cool.
All the bad guys were elderly people, and I'm sitting here watching this, especially like when they're in the grocery store and all that stuff. And at this point in the movie, I'm like, I don't want this to end. This is so good. I literally said it out loud. You know, this is so good. Oh my goodness, and you know,
him passing the gun to because like that one lady on the bike was coming at Angel hard, and when Danny like finally chimes in, hit her with the fucking door, and he passes him the gun. He's like, "That's what I'm talking about." I was like, "Yeah, yes."
I like when Danny says, "You're off the chain."
He says, did you say cool off when you put him in the freezer? And he was like, no, but I did say playtime's over.
Right.
He's like, you're off the chain.
That was so good. That was so good. Because like he had to redeem him. He was like, no, but I did.
So like, right, he's fencing with old people. He's
at this point,
shooting old people.
They recruited all the cops because apparently the other cops didn't know.
Right.
And they all just decide to become like real cops. And it's so fun to see them all as like a ragtag group.
I dug that so much.
Yeah.
It's so fun.
So cool.
I didn't think the priest was in it when he ended up
shooting. Oh, yeah. That's so
Yo,
bad.
Just seeing him go down yelling Jesus Christ is the best. It meant the world to me. It was so funny to me.
I mean, this movie just, it gives and it keeps giving and it keeps giving, man. Yeah, man. You know, and so his dad is the bad guy, man. You know, him and Skinner. Him and Skinner together, man. So, you know, first you gotta take down Skinner, right? Because Skinner starts running and stuff, and, you know, they're chasing him. And I don't know what the hell that was. I thought it was
It's a miniature town.
Okay, I was like, is this a butt golf thing?
They alluded to the town. Okay. They literally talked about that mini town. It's just dope to see him fighting the fucking. It was just. I don't know. It was no reason for it, but it was the best.
It was the best.
It was the best. And like those buildings, like were sturdy as shit too. Cause I was like, damn, like they're not even getting like knocked over easily.
Yeah, you just knew it would all crumble down, especially the goddamn steeple goes through the guy's mouth, and you know. And I love the fact I said, oh, he's still alive.
Yeah. Now that was hilarious. He's like, no.
That was great. And so Papa Bear takes off at this point, even though you can hear sirens and stuff. And I was like, is Angel gonna get him, or is Danny gonna get him? And you know, your boy sacrifices himself, right? I mean, this is the part where
the swan gets the dad, and he crashes.
Right.
But the OG of the Neighborhood Watch comes out of nowhere when we thought everything was done.
You forgot he was up there with them cameras. I forgot all about that stuff, man. You know? And
fucks Danny up.
He shoots Danny and the bomb goes off. And Tiff, I thought they was gonna I was like, no. I thought they was gonna kill Danny, man. I was like, no, they ain't gonna kill Danny. But because he was shot to shit up, beat him down. I mean he was
fucked up. No, yeah. He got Ricky'd like hardcore.
Right. And so, you know, next thing you know, what they do a flash and he's okay, right? I mean,
well,
it's classic buddy cop.
Yes, you see a headstone. So did you still think he was dead at the point when you saw the headstone?
I did.
Yes, were you sad?
I did. I was like, oh, he ain't make it. But he's going to stay in the town, you know.
Best fake out. Yeah. Best fake out. I hope these will do fine. I was like, yeah.
And so, you know.
So cheesy. Yeah. So fucking cheesy.
So good.
Oh, I loved it.
Yeah, I can't see. I need my ass. Well, it's cool. You know, the time was now. The movie didn't lose anything because of the age of it, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
I just watched it and it was nothing that I was like, oh, well, it was 2007. You know what I'm saying? That never happened. You know what I'm saying? Everything was still fresh and good. It was very, very good. I need my ass whooped, man. That's three down for me, Tiff. That's just really, really good, man. Woo! I want to thank our guests so much for coming out and hanging out with us, man. It cannot be that we got to keep you coming back, man. So much fun doing these with you, man.
I absolutely do. It's a pleasure podcasting with you guys as always. I love both of y'all to death,
yes,
man.
Like, thank you so much.
This is You guys are my favorite. One of my, well, I don't want to besmirch everybody else, but you guys are definitely like top five favorite guests I like having coming back on a recurring basis. And Tiff is overdue.
I am. I'm waiting for my invitation.
Okay, okay, okay. So what's happening?
Yeah.
So that's going to do it, man. I'm the host of Fans of Patrol. My name is Montego Bradley. With me is the sensitive co-host herself, Miss Tifflebot. Say goodbye to the people, Tiff.
That weren't me.
Okay, I'm like, what happened? Mr. Beat 'em Down.
Yarp.
And until Sunday, man, we will be on
Patrol.
Patrol. Yes. Patrol time.